The journey of caring for a loved one who is living with dementia can be quite challenging. The aim of this podcast is to make caregiving less daunting and more fulfilling. On this platform, we share knowledge, understanding, and experiences. We enlighten, give hope, and encourage. And in the process, create positive awareness about different aspects of dementia. Welcome to my podcast, Dementia Caregivers Corner. My name is Julia Ratladi. Dementia Care, how deep is your love?
Our guest in today's episode is the owner and co-founder of Amber Holistic Care, based out of Massachusetts in America, alongside Katie Fournier, who is a licensed practical nurse. Our guest has over 14 years of experience working with those living with dementia and their caregivers. Together, she and Katie saw the need for increased support for the caregivers as well as the benefits of alternative approaches to combat dementia-related behaviors before turning to medications. With their joint passion and desire to help as many people as possible, Amber Holistic Care was born. Welcome in today's episode, Sherry Flight.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
I'm excited. Welcome to Dementia Caregivers Corner podcast, Sherry.
Thank you. I'm so happy that we found each other on TikTok.
Yes, that's the power of social media.
It is.
Yes. The other reason why I was so looking forward for this chat is because I'm coming from Botswana, is in Africa. And so Africa is obvious. Botswana is considered as a low and middle income country. And that basically means that we have like limited resources in a lot of things, healthcare. So we cannot afford maybe to roll out medication to everyone in the country. And so when I went through your website and found that alternative ways, I was like, yes! These are the things that I'm looking forward to plug my people, to plug the people that have no access to medication. So that's why I'm really, really happy about our chat today. But let's get into it, Sherry. I want you to explain to someone who doesn't know what dementia is. You know, like I said, that I'm from Africa. People don't know about dementia. People here in the UK don't know about dementia unless it's affecting their families. How would you explain it so that someone can understand what is dementia?
Yeah. And actually, to your point, too, I've worked with a number of individuals from Africa who, upon coming to the U.S., they're like, oh, my goodness, my grandmother or someone in my family definitely had dementia. But to your point, you guys don't have enough of that over there, of the education. So she was amazed when she came here to learn a lot of what she learned. So just like to add that in. So dementia, the best way I've ever heard explained so that it's easier to understand, a lot of people think that dementia itself is a disease, and it is not. Dementia is just the symptom. So when you go to the doctors, you have a fever, you're not going to be sent home and diagnosed with just a fever. There's something causing that fever. The fever is the symptom of something like the flu or COVID. Dementia is the fever in this example. So when you go to the doctors, you're going to be diagnosed with something causing that dementia. So Alzheimer's, Lewy body dementia. Those are the underlying things causing dementia, dementia being the symptom of the memory loss, loss of initiative, loss of social skills. All of those things are under that umbrella term of dementia. I loved that when I heard that, because I feel like it truly helps to understand what dementia is and what that means.
Yes, I really like that. I think even those who know, because other people have limited information on this, it will expand their understanding. So, I like that. So do we have like different types of dementias, or it's just one thing is dementia?
There is over 400 different types of dementias. So we don't hear about them all because there are so many that there's not that many people diagnosed with it. So it's not that common to hear about it. So Alzheimer's is the one I think everybody in the world knows about. If you don't know about it, you at least have heard about it. So that one, and then there's Lewy body dementia. There is frontotemporal dementia. Those are some of the more common types of dementia. And then there's some that are less common. There's one actually I've been following a bunch of children, unfortunately, on Instagram called Sanfilippo syndrome. So that one is something that attacks children. There's a few different types of it. I think it's A, B, and C. that's another one. Like, you don't hear enough about it, but it's still there. There's still a lot of kids being affected by it. So there's so many different types of dementias. And then there's temporary dementias. So if you get a urinary tract infection and you're an older adult, you could have temporary dementia-like symptoms of the forgetfulness and changes in behaviors, but that's when they could be treated. So that's why they call it a temporary dementia and a reversible dementia. So there's so many different types out there. And if you are going to the doctor and they're diagnosing you with just dementia, we, Katie and I, always urge and push for you to get the diagnosis of what type of dementia, because although there's similar symptoms, the journey is very different from Lewy body to Alzheimer's too, amongst other ones. So always try to push to get the information of what type of dementia you have as well.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So somebody maybe with vascular dementia would be maybe given different assistance than somebody with Alzheimer's disease. That's what you mean, right?
Yeah. So it would be... It's honestly, it's more so for them and for the family to understand, okay, I have vascular dementia. What is the rest of this journey potentially going to look like for me? Because with vascular dementia too, especially that one, it's common to have like emotional outbursts. Much more common with those types of dementia for the apathy, where they're just showing no emotions at all, versus Alzheimer's, you don't see that quite as much. So it's just good to know, so then you can prepare yourself for that stuff to happen as it comes down the pipeline of that.
Yeah. You know, I once had this person who had vascular dementia and they were always emotional, Sherry, always crying, and the family didn't know what to do. Like, how do you assist that person even?
Yeah. It can be challenging, and it's challenging because it can be about nothing sometimes. You could say, "Mom, how are you doing?" And she could just start bawling her eyes out and you don't know why. So the best thing really to do, and this is just, I think, for any type of dementia, just validate. If mom's upset because she thinks that someone's laying on the floor next to her, you want to live in her world. You want to validate, saying, "You know what, mom, I am so sorry. That must be so hard for you to see. How can I help you?" So you just want to validate, be there for them. You never want to correct them. You never want to try to put them in your reality, because they can't be in our reality anymore. The more they progress, we have to go in their reality, meet them where they're at.
Definitely. So tell me, Sherry, do we have like causes of dementia? Is there anything in particular that you can point out to say this causes dementia?
Causes, so unfortunately, haven't really found anything in particular. They have that they can say like this for sure causes dementia, but they do have things that we believe can lead to dementia and things that we can do that they believe will also kind of prevent or slow down that progression. Mm-hmm. Healthy lifestyle, both inside and outside. So making sure we're exercising, that can literally just be 20 minutes a day of walking. It does not have to be anything crazy, strenuous. You don't have to do any weightlifting. Exercising the brain, trying to learn something new, trying to make sure we're not on our phones all the time or watching TV, actually do something beneficial like reading, puzzles, word games, anything like that. Healthy eating, the Mediterranean diet, that in particular has been proven to promote brain health, promote heart health, which of course is going to be linked up to that brain health. So there's a bunch of different preventative things that we can do to either slow down that progression or hopefully prevent that progression. And seeing your doctor, keeping up with your doctor's appointments, which as a caregiver, that can be hard to do. But making sure that also as the caregiver that you're doing that also for yourself.
Yeah. You're talking about being challenging to keep the appointment. I have come across a case whereby the caregiver had wanted to take their loved one for an appointment that was set, you know, but the loved one who is living with dementia, they refused to go for the appointment. Like, how do you even handle that, Sherry?
Yeah, that's tough too. It is hard. So sometimes you have to use those therapeutic fiblets of, and Katie and I kind of changed that name too. I don't know if you've heard that term. So that's kind of like a white lie. So you're just kind of twisting the truth a little bit. So if they don't like to go to the doctors, but they have to get there, but maybe they love to go shopping or getting ice cream, you just twist that truth a little bit and be like, "All right, mom, let's get up. We're going to go to the store. We'll hit the ice cream shop." Then while you're out, you can be like, "Oh, I totally forgot. We have to go to the doctors. Why don't we head there now and then we'll get ice cream after." Or sometimes there's doctors nowadays who will still do house calls. So you can see if you can find a doctor that will travel and go to the home instead too. Whatever is easier for them as the caregiver and for the person too, for mobility and just trying to be able to get them to get to those appointments.
So this person now, they have been diagnosed with dementia. So what's the next step? Like, especially for the caregivers, what should these people do now going forward after the diagnosis?
So I think first, it depends on who gave the diagnosis. So if it's just their primary care physician, then I always promote for them to get another doctor that's that next level, a neuropsychologist, a neurologist, someone who specializes in dementia. And I like to really push that word specializes, because there's neurologists who they don't specialize in it. So they obviously know a lot about it, but that's not their main area of focus. So try and find an additional doctor, because they're going to be able to guide you that entire journey. They can do all the brain imaging to see the changes that are happening throughout the coming weeks, years, months, however long that person has in their journey. But also, I think the most important thing that nobody does or thinks about is build your team of people. Like, you do not have to go in this journey by yourself as the caregiver. Reach out to family, reach out to friends, reach out to the community. Build your team of people so that if you need a break or you need to go to the store or you just need an additional set of hands at the house, you have your team of people and your support system. So as that person starts to progress, you have already built that team and they're there for you the entire time. A lot of people don't do that and don't even think about that, but I think that is so vital to do from the very beginning. The other thing, which is a super hard conversation, but you want to try and have it as early as possible, is talk to the person diagnosed with dementia and ask what their wishes are as they progress. Do they want to be resuscitated towards the end? Do they want to be hospitalized? What are their spiritual and emotional wishes? There's so many things like that. No one wants to talk about that stuff because it's such an awkward conversation. It's a hard conversation, but you'd rather have it now when they can share their wishes with you than have to figure out what their wishes might be towards the end of the journey when they can't verbalize that anymore. So it's a hard conversation, but I can promise you, your future self will thank you that you've had that conversation in the beginning when they could tell you their wishes.
It is a tough conversation to have. I cared for someone who firstly refused the diagnosis of dementia. She said they don't have dementia. Mm-hmm. And so when the situation is like that, they didn't do anything to plan for going forward. And now the children are just there. They don't know what their loved one would have wanted. It's hard on them. It's heartbreaking, Sherry. And then
it
talked about...
It's such a hard decision.
Yes. You talked about reaching out to family. I've seen many cases of families, some working well together and some breaking down to a point of no return. I've talked with different guests on my podcast talking about that as well. Like, what's the importance of family unity when you are caring for someone living with dementia?
Yeah, it's just important because you're supporting the person with dementia. We have to support each other too. And the other thing I'd like to point about that is we all grieve differently. We're all going to accept that diagnosis differently. So you might have one sibling who's full force, jumping in, I'm going to do everything that mom needs for me to do. You might have another sibling that kind of steps back, doesn't want to really be hands-on. And it's common to be frustrated with that sibling, but it's try not to be, because that's how they're grieving. This is how they're going through it. We need to support each other in however we are grieving, whatever that looks like for them. So just trying to support each other through that journey. Maybe one of you is much better with the hands-on stuff and one of you is better with maybe the behind-the-scenes stuff with the finances and the healthcare proxy. That's fine. Let each person have their job of what they're better with so that nobody is filling their cup up too much or taking too much on. And that way you can all support each other. But also, I think there should also be a point person in the family to kind of rein everybody in, like, okay, Joe, I know you feel like mom's not progressing, but she is progressing. So I think we need to have a conversation that's going to be challenging, but how can we support her with her progression? So trying to have everyone have their jobs based on what their strengths are and what they're comfortable with too.
I so love that, because I'm picturing these families that I've been with where sometimes they end up not even talking to each other because of that.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing from you is like they have to sit down and see who have what strength, and they agree on it themselves, and to say, okay, this is how I am, this is how I'm taking mom, and let's work together so that others don't feel the burnout of just thinking that they're the only one who are doing the care. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, you have to do that, because it's so common that everyone feels like, oh, Sally's not putting any effort into this. She's not helping mom with bathing or dressing. Like, okay, maybe she can't handle that. That's fine. But she's really good at keeping mom's finances where they need to be. Let's let that be her thing.
I'm just getting emotional when you're mentioning that, because I've seen a lot of families going through tough times.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. It's such a hard journey. And it doesn't, I always say, like, it doesn't have to be hard. Because if you have these conversations early, you put these plans in place, the hard part is going to be watching the progression happen with your loved one. And if you already have this stuff in place, you can just focus on whoever the person is with dementia and not have to worry about the nitty gritty of everything else, because you've already figured that out from the start.
Definitely. So what do you think of the transition to, say, to a care home? Like, I was talking to someone, I think their episode is going to end next. She was saying to me, they were the one who were living with their dad, and the other children, the siblings, were around the world. Mm-hmm. So they didn't totally understand what's happening with dad, even if they who were living with dad were just explaining to them that this is the case. And we think now our dad should go to a nursing home or long care facility. And those one who were there didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. That's unfortunately common too, because they're not there to physically see the decline, even though the sibling that's there can tell them exactly what's happening. Again, that's almost their way of coping. Like, nope, I'm not seeing dad in his decline. So what you're saying can't be accurate, because that's not what I'm experiencing. Or maybe they have a phone call and dad sounds great on the phone call. Well, you're just getting that little picture of a really good moment he's having. So I'm always a proponent for like a monthly family meeting of updates, especially for the ones that are out of state or out of country. Have a meeting so that the person that is there can say, listen, you know, dad has good days, bad days. Oftentimes when he's on the phone with you guys, it's a good day. But here's what a bad day looks like. These days are happening, to try your best to kind of rein everybody in so everyone can be on the same page. But that happens a lot. And that's usually where I see the separation start to happen. Because the family that's there and in the thick of it, they're struggling because no one's believing them of what they're saying, what is happening. So it can be really challenging for them to get other people to understand.
I pray that people listen to this chat, because it will avoid a lot of tensions that is happening mm-hmm. in families. If we can just agree that, okay, let's sit down and talk about it as adults, as mature people.
Yeah. And in honor of the person, especially if it's your parents too, it would break your parents' heart if they saw you guys separating because of their progression. So what can we do to honor the children that they have raised this entire time? We can't let this separate us. We've been fine until now. So let's continue that way. It's too common.
It is. Dementia is just, I'm looking a better way to explain it. It's just a sad illness, you know, mm-hmm. because
it is.
The cognition is gone. So for those who are remaining behind, they don't even know how to go about doing things, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard the phrase, the long goodbye. That's what they refer to dementia as. I love that, because it truly encompasses, like, you are slowly saying goodbye to that person with dementia as they start to lose all their abilities. I just think it encapsulates it so much.
It does. Even though I'm asking myself this, a family that I've been with, and this person, they've got 5 children, and the last one is not handling it well at all. Yeah. And we would just sit and talk about, like, how are you feeling? And he would say to me, this is not my loved one. I saw my mom last 5 years ago. This one is not. So I don't even know how to handle this, that long goodbye that you're talking about.
Yeah. So that I love. That's where I always will retaliate, that she is still there. You just have to find a way to pull her out. Music. I'm always the big proponent for music. I feel like everyone knows the benefit of music for someone with dementia. So, and that's actually where the name Ember for our company came from, is the definition of an ember. I don't know if you got to see that on our website, but an ember is when it looks like the flame has gone, but there's still a little bit of flame inside. So that's exactly the person with dementia. They're fading away in front of our eyes, but they're still there inside. I've had people who are nonverbal anymore, not ambulating anymore. You turn on a music or a song from when they were little, and they know every single word. So they're still there. So trying to remember that, even though they can't do some of their interests or hobbies like they used to, try to do something with them in a way that they can do it. because I think a lot of people would be surprised. You will still find a little bit of them in there, and it will give you a glimpse. And I think that will help a lot of caregivers too, being like, okay, mom can still tap her foot to the song. Maybe she can't sing it, but she's tapping her foot, which means she's listening. She knows what's going on still a little bit. It's so easy to focus on what they're losing, what they can't do. We really have to try and switch that way of thinking to focus on what can they still do. So we can hold on to independence, but still try to make sure that we're making sure that they're still having a quality of life and whatever that looks like for them.
So talking about music, it's one of the interventions, I guess, that you provide. Yes, I like that. This other family, again, that I've been with, they've created a playlist for their loved one. So every time, especially during times of personal care, play that music, and she
comes
down. And she, like you were saying, she sings to some of the songs because each child came up with the songs that they used to listen to with the mom when they were growing up. So we created this huge playlist. It will be playing throughout the day, and she will be there singing or tapping. So
yes, I love that.
Let's talk about music and the calming effect of it. Is there a science even behind it?
There is. So that part of the brain, the rhythmic part of the brain, that's one of the very last things to go with dementia. So that's praying, singing, all of that, that is encompassed in that. So again, you could have someone who's very end-stage dementia, not able to do much anymore. You could put music. It's better with headphones too as they progress. Put music on, especially for headphones. Like you said, they could still tap their foot because they're listening. Their brain still understands that. Or they could say a prayer that they grew up saying their entire life because it's rhythmic. But I love that you said they added it to care, because there's actually videos on YouTube that you can look up too. If you start, before you even start care, put music on that's familiar to them. Let them catch the beat. It can actually bring back some abilities for them. There's a video on YouTube of a man with Parkinson's, and he typically has a lot of trouble walking with his walker because of his tremors. They put on music, and by the end of the video, he's dancing around the room and there's no tremors to be seen. So it's amazing. Music is amazing. I always push for music. End stage dementia, you can put headphones on the person so they can hear it and not hear the distraction of the environment. So it is so powerful and so beneficial.
Oh, okay. So is this some of the things or the interventions that you offer at Ember?
Yes. So I don't know. Have you heard of the documentary Alive Inside?
No.
You should look that one up. That one's amazing. So it's called Alive Inside. It came out years ago, but they have progressed with it. And they, on their website, they have headphones. And we found them. We discovered them. And you can, similar to this family, you upload the music that that person likes to the headphones. And it just has a play button and volume button and then an off button. That's all it has. So the person with dementia can use it too, depending where they're at. But that's what we'll do. So we will purchase the headphones. We will upload whatever music the family tells us that. So if they love like 70s disco music, we had someone that loved, uploaded all of her favorite disco songs.
Yes.
And then we bring to the family's home, and all they have to do is just make sure it stays charged, and that's it. And then that's what they have. We had one woman who wasn't really doing much of anything for engagement. She would kind of just sit in her chair with her husband. They would chat, but she had a lot of issues with her speech, so it didn't quite make sense. You would put the headphones on, put her disco music on. She shot up so fast out of her chair. She was dancing around the living room, singing all the old songs. So that's something that we love to offer to be able to do for families, because it's personalized and it's familiar to them. And it's I just love it. I love everything about the music and dementia piece.
Beautiful. I love stories like that. Yes. What else? What other interventions that you have that you provide in Ember that prolong or delay people from using medication, you know, because we're trying to delay people from using medication? What other interventions do you have?
Absolutely. So before even that's okay, as you said, she's an LPN. So we have the knowledge that as people progress, a lot of people will eventually need medications because of the changes happening. Yes. But again, to your point, to delay it. So we will offer the music. We also can offer Reiki. If you're familiar with Reiki, it's a type of energy healing. Katie is a Reiki master now, so I can explain that more. And we also offer a meditation and aromatherapy as well.
Okay.
So we, all three of those, and that's for the caregiver too. We try to focus on the caregiver as well, just as much as the person with dementia, to make sure that they also feel like they are being taken care of. So with those three, Katie can do a guided meditation, and then she also adds Reiki to it. So Reiki is the type of energy healing. And you call on God, whoever it is that the person kind of believes in, whatever their spirituality is. Yeah. And you use your hands and you go throughout the body and you don't touch the person. You just kind of hover over the areas and you see if there's any areas that feel like they need some healing through energy. And I always joke, it sounds crazy to anyone that doesn't know what it is. It sounds like witchcraft to people that doesn't know who don't know what it is. But it's been used for hundreds of thousands of years. I always prompt and promote for people to look Reiki up. So we saw the positive effects that it was having on people. Mm-hmm. Katie and I met in a memory care assisted living in Boston. And we had some people who had the stress, the anxiety, all of those behaviors that come along with dementia. Katie would do Reiki meditation for that person. And you could see their behaviors related to the dementia just completely go away or start to minimize and be less and less so that they weren't quite as anxious just from that. And they didn't need their medications to help calm them down. And oftentimes for those types of behaviors, it's like heavy, heavy hitter medications like Ativan that we really don't want to have to give them. So we add all of that into our programming. And then the aromatherapy, there's so many benefits to aromatherapy too, especially the scent of lavender. It's known for reducing stress and anxiety. So oftentimes we will do it in the evening. We'll put it on because that's when sundowning happens. So we'll put that on. We can do the Reiki and or meditation at that point in time. And it's just so beneficial. We've had families hire us literally just for that. They're like, you know, I understand dementia. I feel supported. I know how to help my mom. However, I want to provide her with something else. We've done just that with the aromatherapy and the meditation. Like I said, we've seen a lot of benefit with it. We've had a lot of people who still have those medications as needed if they do need them, but we've been able to prevent and lessen the amount that they've had to take them through these approaches. And I think it's the future. I think we will see more of this. I feel we can live in a time now where people are more aware and understanding of it. So I think that we will start to see it more and more as the future goes on. And then the other piece I always forget to add, because this is newer to us, Katie is in the middle of going through a course for CBD and THC benefits as well. We have had people who were just, we call this one moment of thinking, she's kind of like a ping pong ball. She just couldn't sit down, the poor thing, because of her dementia. She was all over the place. And we had her family bring in CBD gummies for medication for her, put them in a medication planner, and she was able to actually sit down and relax. Her eating improved. She could sit and enjoy a program. And so that's the same thing. I feel like that's going to be the future too. I think we'll see more of that versus a medication. It's so much more natural.
Oh, wow. I'm happy that you're bringing that up. The last episode that is playing now, I was talking with someone from Namibia, is in Africa. He lives with Alzheimer's disease. And he's got a farm where he cares for people who with living with dementia. And there's no medication involved in their farm. And he talked about the lollipop therapy.
Yeah, I love that.
I was like, what? So now when you're bringing that up, I'm thinking, what is it? He said they do the lollipop therapy. If this person is being aggressive, or lack of a better word, or agitated, they bring the lollipop and they give it to the person. And
I love that.
The suckling until the person calms down.
I love that so much. And how much easier it is to give someone a lollipop and say yes versus, hey, here's your medication. So they're going to grab the lollipop. So I really, Katie and I joke, we both were like, there's going to be a day where you're going to walk into a community and there's going to be just one room that's just for like smoking pot. Like, I think that that's the future that we're getting to.
I am for that future, girl. I am looking forward for that future. Like I'm saying, especially for us, we don't have the resources, you know, for medication. So that is the kind of future that I want to live in. That is the kind of future that I want to take back home and in Africa. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, there's these things on this planet that were created for a reason, and they're here to help us for a reason. We just need to figure out the correct ways to use them. And I think there's probably a lot of countries that know how to use them. And now it's just, let's just share that knowledge. Like, what are you guys doing that we need to be doing over here? So she and I are constantly trying to look at what Europe is doing, because I feel like they're way ahead of the curve with dementia care. So we're always trying to see what other countries are doing.
Beautiful. No, we will. We'll have to see what they do. Apparently, it works, and I'm happy for that. Where there's no medication, see, with medication, I don't have problem with it. Like you were saying, towards the end, you're going to need it. But there was one case in my class. I'm doing my MSc in dementia, and there was one video that they showed us. This man,
was just has got his mobility right. He was able to feed himself, but the family wanted to take him for respite care. They were going away for like 2 weeks, and then mm-hmm. they took their dad there. And within a week, when they came to visit the dad, he was on a wheelchair. Apparently, he was like over-medicated. Yeah. And they had to bring the dad out within a week. And he was now on a wheelchair. He has never recovered from that. So medication, anyway. That's what I'm talking about.
No, it's hard. That's tough. Because, I mean, it's Western medicine. Like, a lot of people will do that. And it's common to see that in hospital settings a little bit more, too. So you can see a little bit of a setback. And that's not a knock at hospitals, of course, because they do a fantastic job. But that's what they're there for, is to give those medications to help that person with the symptom. Yeah. But we want to try and figure out, like, what's causing the symptom. Because oftentimes the behaviors that you're seeing, there's a cause for it. Are they hungry? Are they thirsty? Are they in pain? So we always say, be the detective. What is the cause of that? Let's treat the cause, not necessarily put a Band-Aid on what that symptom is.
Yes, the unmet need. That crying because they say need mm-hmm. that needs exactly. to be met. Good.
Yep.
I like you, Sherry.
I like you too. For.
No, seriously, this episode, I'm happy that I talked with you, really. Yes. Okay, we're talking about those interventions. The other thing, when we're talking of caregivers, Sherry, I have read some articles that says dementia caregivers experience more stress and burnout compared to mm-hmm. caregivers of other illnesses. Why do you think that is the case, and how can we assist them?
I think it's because the progression is a progression. It's just continuously going to get worse over time, whether it's quicker or faster. I think, like, for a cancer, you know what that progression is going to look like. We know more about it. I think it's a little bit easier to cope with, not easy, but easier to cope with because we know so much about it. Dementia, it's different from moment to moment, day to day. So you could wake up and your loved one's having a great day and a great mood, and then something happens, behaviors change, and now your day is totally twisted. So I think going back to making sure you have that support system, if it's just you're having a really tough day, tough week, reach out to someone, say, hey, can you come sit with my mom for a half hour so I can just get out of the house for a little bit? I think just the caregiver needs to constantly put themselves first. We're the only people that are ever going to put ourselves first. So they have to constantly put themselves first, whether it's step outside for a quick 5 minutes to breathe in some fresh air, read a book, take a bath, whatever you need to do for yourself. That's the best thing, because if you're not doing that, you're not going to be able to care for your loved one. And that's where you two will start to get frustrated with your loved one, even though you know they can't help it. This is not them. This is dementia. But you're now already burnt out and stressed out. So you have no patience at this point, because you're not taking care of yourself, and every little thing that they do is going to frustrate you. So just always have to put yourself first as that caregiver.
Talking about frustration, I was talking to someone who they've got a support group, dementia support group in America. I've forgotten the state. And she was saying to me, there have been some reports, or at least some articles that have been written, that said it seems like the abuse of elderly people has gone up in the United States, and they were wondering if it's because the caregivers don't have time, is because they are overworked, and so they take that out on the loved ones.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but it certainly could be the case. Yeah, it's definitely possible.
It is.
I mean, for anyone that has little kids, think about how many times you just want to run away if the kid's not listening or being fresh. It's similar. But the kid does understand, they're just being fresh. The person with dementia doesn't quite understand. They don't know what they're doing. So it's hard. I feel for all caregivers. I've been a professional dementia caregiver. I have had family with dementia, have not been the direct person for them, but I've seen so many families going through, and it's hard. It's one of the hardest jobs out there.
Sherry, anything that you think will benefit our listeners that I did not ask you?
I don't know if everyone has heard of Tipa Snow. I always like to push for her. She's absolutely amazing. So she is from America. She is down south. But look up Tipa Snow if you have not already heard of her. She's a wealth of knowledge. So I always push for that too. TEEPA. But yeah, that one thing in particular I like to. But just educate, research, be an advocate for your loved one. The more you know and the more you can learn, the better it's going to be for your loved one, because you're giving them as much of yourself as you can with that knowledge.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
I know. I'm excited. We'll have to do it again.
We will. Dementia care.
how deep is your love?